Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go to AT in Overbrook Park. Hi, AT.
What's going on, guys? Enjoying the show.
My
what
man.
I just got to chime in about the trades. I mean, I'm happy. We got a bunch of 6'7", 6'8", long guys that, you know, can compete better against the Toronto and Boston in the playoffs. We, you know, we don't want no pushovers out there off the bench that they could just run right past. But I'm the Markel trade, I'm still kind of salty, man, you know, because it's like, we ain't getting nothing for this kid. We wasted all these picks. It was like, it felt like, you know, we all got people we look at and say, he remind me of me, or I could help that kid. Like, if you go see a little league game, I'm sure you see a player like, he remind me of me. And it felt like that's what Brett had with kind of TJ when they drafted Markel. Like, he just really never gave him a chance. So, okay, Markel, he's a bust at this point. But he didn't lose his athletic ability. So you give him away. I don't even really know what we got back. I think he's going to do good in Orlando. I think he'll be like a D'Angelo Russell in a couple of years. He'll come back.
He's going to be an all-star in a couple of years, AT?
I think so, man. I mean, you don't lose. You got to look at why he got drafted number one, his athletic ability. He can run and jump with anybody. Like, I mean, you don't lose that. Okay, his shot funny, all that. But like I said, we lost that. At this point, the pressure's on Brown because we got a complete stacked roster, man. And I just got to see how that all matches up with some of those moves Milwaukee, Toronto, and Boston made, man. Because we can't continue to beat everybody and then continue to lose to them 3-10. Because that's right now, that's what we're doing. Every time we roll one of them teams out, we're taking an L. And that, like, you know, it comes down to coaching at some point when you got a roster like this. So I feel like that pressure's on him, man. Like, you got to show us, man. If you're going to be here running this team, man, you got to start beating these teams. You got to find a way, man, because we got enough talent. It's not a talent thing, man. We got that
you're
talent.
Right. You're right.
No, I agree. And if what's the coach? He actually coached with Brett in San Antonio, I believe. Budenhauser,
yeah.
Milwaukee's coach.
Yep.
If he can come in 1 year with that roster and get them to the best record in the NBA in 1 year, he has a system that he runs. He has a system, right? They got one great player. Chris Middleton made the All-Star team. I think Chris Middleton, no knock against him. He's a self-made player.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of turned himself into an above-average player. I think he's only in the All-Star game because he's on a team with the best record in the league, and he rightfully should be there because a team with the best record in the league should have more than one player represented in the All-Star game. So I'll give him that. But it sort of reminds me of Budenhauser's other team, Atlanta. Remember when they
that
had the best
year.
Record in the, and they had like four players in the All-Star game?
Kyle Korver was hitting
shots
from everywhere.
Yeah, and they had the best record in the league and got swept by LeBron and them.
And then they were done.
Yeah, in the second round. So my only point in saying that is that Budenhauser has a system that he certainly seems like he can come in and turn a team around.
Well, listen,
like Brett Brown, like, you got talent here now. You got to put something together here where these guys should be able to start really beating some of these top teams in the East.
Well, he's on the clock.
Yeah.
Brett Brown's on the clock more than Carson. Brett Brown, is he on the clock more than Gabe? You have to look at it from
me, I don't know who's running. Part of me thinks Brett Brown is running the Sixers.
I would say that
he's not gonna fire himself.
Well, I know you're right. That would be a Joshua Harris decision, right?
Right.
Because Elton might be the GM, but let's just say that best case, they're on equal footing, or
right.
Best, even if Elton holds more power, I still think the coaching is Joshua Harris and his circle rather than Elton Brand going to Joshua Harris and saying, we're going to fire Brett Brown. I don't believe that happened.
Elton Brand's not going to do that.
No, and I don't know if he has the power to do it.
Right.
Or anything. All right, Dan Orlovsky on ESPN a few days ago said the following about Carson Wentz and pressure. Here it is.
There is not a player in the NFL with more pressure on him next season than Carson Wentz. We're talking about Nick Foles, who brought this organization, this city, their first ever Super Bowl championship. He's a Super Bowl MVP. And in reality, Greeny, Nick Foles is more like the people of Philadelphia. He's the underdog, always doubted, never given the chance, and overcame it, where Carson Wentz was the early draft pick. So there's a ton of pressure on Carson to fill that void, start fast next season, and kind of answer any questions.
There you go.
Yeah, see, yeah, he didn't really give you a concrete answer as to his pressure on him to do what.
Well, because you can't just do it like stats. You can't just say, well, have a successful season, because what does that mean?
Yeah.
And you can't say he has to make the Super Bowl, because if the team's not good enough around them to make the Super Bowl, then you can't necessarily blame him. I'll try to explain it like this. He needs to be a difference maker when it matters, when the game's on the line. So everybody knows where I'm going with this. The couple of times this year where he had the ball at the end of the game where, listen, the defense may have given up some leads, but he had a chance to correct that.
Sure.
Right? That's what I need to see from Carson Wentz this year. That's what I'll say. The pressure on him is to more or less get back to the 2017 MVP season.
Mm-hmm. See, and here's why I'm tweaking everybody who's coming up with Carson has the most pressure on him. Because you really can't bottle it up. You can't define what the pressure is. No one can. It's not in one. See, what you just described is the pressure. Someone else may say, no, I need to make the playoffs next year. So it's really hard to clearly define what that pressure is. What I will say the pressure for him to do, in my opinion, is just stay healthy. That's a little bit of a pressure, to stay healthy. Everything else, this dude's going to get healthy this offseason, and he has to stay healthy through 16 games. If you want to say that's pressure, I will agree with you with that. To me, that's no different than Joel Embiid having the pressure to stay healthy through a season, to not get re-injured. I'm okay with that, but nobody was saying Joel Embiid needs to go win the NBA championship.
He has the pressure to make Eagles fans forget about Nick Foles. He's under the pressure
never
to reestablish himself as one of the great young quarterbacks.
He can't do that until they win the Super Bowl. So right. he can't make Eagles fans forget about Nick Foles.
But the Nick Foles people that say Nick Foles should have stuck around because Wentz can't do this and Wentz can't do that. You don't have to win the Super Bowl to show, I think, an Eagle fan that's being fair, mm-hmm. that like, hey, man, they didn't make a mistake keeping Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, what happens if Nick goes somewhere and gets injured and he stinks?
If Nick goes somewhere and gets injured because he stinks.
No, it gets injured or he stinks. Nobody's going to be saying we should have kept Nick Foles.
I don't think anybody's going to be saying we should have kept Nick Foles.
Well, you just said that.
No, what I'm saying is that that the fan that was like, man, listen, what has Carson really done? That fan that maybe loved Carson a year and a half ago to where the fan today says, listen, I'm unsure about him. He's under pressure to make Eagles fans feel the way they did about him prior to the Super Bowl. Because you'll agree, no one said anything negative about Carson back mm-hmm. then. Nobody. He was the darling. Right. He's under pressure to establish himself as that guy again, both in Philly and across the NFL.
He'll do that.
Okay. Let's go to Rodriguez in Middletown. Hi, Rodriguez.
How you doing, guys?
Yo.
What's up, Rodriguez?
How are you? Hi.
All right.
Oh, you might. Well, Wade in Chester's back. I know you were looking forward to this, Ike. Wade in Chester. Hi, buddy.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
Hi, Wade.
What up, Wade?
I'm hanging in there. Just a little, I ain't going to do no Nick Foles and Carson Wentz thing. I'm done with that. The thing is, this here, is we talking about the golf and the Carson Wentz thing. If we had a scoreboard or a stat sheet in front of us and we asked, what is Carson Wentz's record in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. You would say zero, right?
Right.
He's zero across the board. And how many playoff wins is zero? Then you go to golf. What is golf's record in the playoffs? He lost one last year. He won two this year.
Two and two.
You know, right. So then golf has went, and then he got to the Super Bowl this year. So everybody is downing on golf because, you know, he looked like crap in the Super Bowl, but he progressed from last year, from where he's actually on track to being a good quarterback. I don't know about great, but he's progressing. But when you look at Carson Wentz's stat sheet, you don't see a progression. You see a regress. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to put the pressure
injured.
On Carson.
He got injured.
Okay. Unfortunately, that box is not on the scoreboard. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, but, that, but hold on. But wait. That explains the regression.
Okay. All right. Here's what it also explains. Yeah. It explains that he's not dependable. So, I mean, rather he was injured or whatever, he still is not better than Goff on the scoreboard. That's all
in your
I'm saying.
Eyes. Now, in your eyes.
No, not in my eyes. I'm just talking facts now. I'm not I know everybody wants to do the fantasy football thing.
No, you just
and
gave
we
an opinion.
Do the,
Wait, you gave an opinion.
No, it's talking... a fact. Does no, Carson Wentz have – how many playoffs Carson Wentz got?
Okay, that's the fact that he hasn't played in the playoffs, but that doesn't necessarily –
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, but that's obvious, though, Wade. You don't need to say that. You're trying to
right,
make the case.
Right, but why do people – no.
Be quiet for a second.
People,
be quiet
okay,
for a
I'm
second.
Sorry.
Be quiet for a second. Stating an obvious fact, we don't need you to state the fact that Carson hasn't played in the playoffs. You're trying to state as a fact that Jared Goff is better, and you're trying to use the playoffs to justify your opinion there. That doesn't make it a fact. Yeah, we all know it's a fact that Carson Wentz hasn't played in the playoffs. We know that. Nobody's arguing that, but that doesn't make it factual that Jared Goff is the better player. And when you talk about the trajectory, Carson was headed on the right trajectory until he got injured. I mean,
okay.
that's part of the equation.
Am I allowed to speak now?
Sure, yes.
Okay, now back to my point. Carson Wentz was, I would say, not injured when they played Dallas when they needed to clinch the division. We had Dallas all but buried. Everybody had the tombstones out.
Are we talking about Jared Goff, or are you just going to go through Carson's games? Like we don't need you to tell us stuff we already know. You want to argue Jared Goff and Carson Wentz? Talk about that. Don't just go through games. You want to pick a Carson Wentz's, and you can't even tell me games that Jared Goff played in, because all you can do is look at a stat sheet or go on Google and look at his numbers. You can't tell me how terrible he was the last 6 weeks of the season, including the playoffs. See, you won't bring up those numbers because the devil's in the detail. You won't go through that. You want to go through something that's obvious to everyone, which is the Rams were in the Super Bowl.
Ben, I got to tell you, I have an idea for a new podcast. Ike and Wade.
Wade argues with everybody who doesn't.
Wade talks Wade. Wade argues
with everybody who doesn't like
Wade's kind of entering
like
Angry Al territory where, like, more than 70% of his calls are on the same subject.
Yeah, it's the same thing all the time.
But I got to tell you, if it's every other week, I like him calling in and you guys
arguing.
No, because you
want to be entertained by nonsense. I can see why Ben doesn't let him on the air all the time.
But see, here's the good thing with Wade. He even says, I'm done with that Foles-Wentz nonsense.
Yeah.
He just has a different angle to get in there.
You know what I've learned?
Talk about the same
every
thing.
Discussion in Philly sports leads back to Wentz and Foles. Like, if you were to draw a tree.
Like Donovan.
Yeah, if you were to draw a tree, it all comes back to the same place. It's impossible to not end up there because every argument somehow has some kind of tangential connection. It's impossible to avoid it.
But the funny thing is, nothing can change from what's already happened, so it's the same information being argued over and over and over again. It's the same information.
Marks and Reese, live from Chickies, 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494, which is why
we know Wentz has to stay healthy. We're going to say that all the way up until he stays healthy. We get it, everybody. We know.
Has he missed time?
He stay healthy.
Due to injury, Ike?
We know it. Yes, we got it.
He has?
Yeah,
okay.
We got it.
I'm just chatting. Let me write that down.
That's not breaking news. We know he got injured.
All right. He won the MVP in 2017.
Exactly.
He is injury history. Offensive line was bad last year for him. All right. I'm good. 888-729-90.
We're on the same page because you hate hearing the MVP stuff, and I hate the whole he didn't play in the playoffs. I'm like, dude, okay, we know that already. We know he didn't play in the playoffs. We know it.
In 2019,
my God,
the Eagles will be the team of the year because Carson Wentz will return and respond.
Oh, now
like
you want,
Ike thinks.
Now you want to be pro Wentz.
That's what I started the show with.
Oh.
Remember?
Where everybody hadn't heard you.
Yeah.
They probably think they're listening to a different show right now.
No, that's why I said 2019 will be the year of .. the Eagles because Carson is the greatest, is a great quarterback. You tell me all the time, so that's what I'm voting for.
I shouldn't have to tell you.
888-729-9494. Marks and Reese, Dear Ike coming up next segment. Your phone calls as well. And Ike will be yelling at somebody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.